ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In Australia, you have to be at least 13 to access social media like TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. But there are plenty of kids younger than that who have accounts anyway. And given the content that can be posted online, is 13 really old enough? It's an issue that's occupying a lot of minds after the Bondi attack and two subsequent knife attacks in Sydney and Perth. So why don't we just ban smartphones and social media for Australian kids altogether and save a generation from harm? I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
My name is Danny Alachi. I'm from the Heads Up Alliance. My wife and I founded the Heads Up Alliance about 3 or 4 years ago now in response to our daughter's incessant pleading that she needed a phone. And in fact, we did give her a phone initially, but we did end up ultimately making the decision that we would have to delay smartphone and social media use for her until she was a little older.
Okay, so you're one of the very few parents, I think it's safe to say, who has managed to delay your children using social media. But as you said, she did have a phone for a while, your eldest child. When did you give it to her? How old was she, I suppose? And what did you notice once she had it? How was she using it?
So she was about 10 years of age when we initially gave her the phone, and within a matter of days and weeks, in fact, we would find her in the middle of the night under the covers, messaging friends. We also felt that she was a little more detached from the family than she was previously. When the phone did malfunction within a couple of months, and we decided at that point that we would have a discussion and maybe reach out to other families in her school group to see whether other families were going through the same difficulties that we were and whether we couldn't form a group of parents to delay these technologies together so that none of our children would feel left out.
So you contacted other parents at the school and said, what, we're thinking of taking the phone off our daughter. How about you do the same thing to make it easier for us?
Yeah, it was essentially that. It was, look, are you guys struggling just the way we are? And, of course, it's the bane of every parent's existence. And a small group of them said, yeah, hey, we're up for this. We're happy to delay the smartphone and social media, especially knowing that you will be as well. And then we formed a little, we call it an alliance of parents, of families, so that our children don't feel like they're the only ones missing out. And as parents, it also helps us to know that we're not the only mean parents in the whole school who've said we're delaying smartphones at least until the end of year eight.
Absolutely brilliant, Danny. It's fantastic. So your daughter, she's now 15. So has she got a phone now, tell me?
She's 15 and in year nine, and I'm pleased to report that we're still going strong.
Oh, gosh.
She looks forward to the day that she gets a smartphone. But there are days when she sits down with me and says, you know what, Dad, I think it might have been for the best that I don't have a smartphone, because she does see what it has done to some other peers in terms of the amount of time that it takes away from them. We're hoping to hold out for as long as we possibly can. So it's not just the smartphone, of course, it's also social media. And look, she hasn't lost friends. She hasn't been isolated by anybody. She still has a wonderful, active social life and you know, plays sports and all of that. So if there's anything that I can get across to other parents in the country, it's that they will be okay.
I'm Dr. Jan Ponson. I am a child psychiatrist at the Yale Child Study Center, a part of Yale University, and I'm also vice chair for our clinical affairs.
Jan, we've just heard from Danny. He's a father who is delaying his kids' access to phones and social media. And I'm guessing he's in the minority.
He is in the distinct minority, a minority that has been shrinking. Perhaps 90% of 15-year-olds have a smartphone and about half of 11-year-olds. So, yes, a distinct minority.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a bit fascinated by this book by an American author, Jonathan Haidt, called The Anxious Generation. And he sort of unpacks how things changed when the iPhone basically became more sophisticated, when you could flip it around onto yourself, take photos of yourself and then upload them onto social media, that changed the dynamics for teenagers, for kids.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Haidt has done us all a service by bringing this issue to the forefront in his usual well-researched way. To me, his book is like the neon sign in the old cartoons that to point this way, this way. So I think the problem and the issues are obvious at this point, like leaded gas or smoking of the past. And I think we are beyond the stage of debate. So the only question really is how bad. And in large part, one can say the way it permeates our children's world is benign at best, problematic often, and horrendous at times for a few.
Yes, and very concerning for most parents, I think, at this point. And it comes down to age, doesn't it? Whether or not, I guess, at a certain age, smartphones shouldn't be available to children. So Jonathan Haidt's argument is no smartphones for kids under the age of 14, and that there should be a minimum age for social media profiles of 16.
Right, right. And this is where I really appreciate Jonathan Haidt, because Australia, like the USA, has 13 as the cutoff age based on privacy laws, but it's akin to getting on a bus and just needing to say you have a ticket rather than actually having a ticket.
Yes.
So there's really no teeth even at the age of 13. And I do think it needs to be increased to 16. When you increase the age and put some teeth in the regulations, so it's not simply having the age, but the option to take legal action against social media companies if kids are in droves getting past the age restrictions. So I think you need to have teeth. And once that happens, then you can start to create a culture or a large minority of individuals, parents and children, who are not relying so much on smartphones and social media. So I do think that supporting parents in that way is going to be an important step.
Here in Australia, our Federal Communications Minister, Michelle Rowland, says the government's going to test what are called age assurance technologies, you know, to prevent young people from seeing inappropriate material.
There's not a single parent who isn't concerned about what their children are seeing. Part of the review that we're doing of the Online Safety Act is to make sure that the regulator has the necessary tools. But at the same time, we're looking at other issues. The harms to children, including by having recommender systems that push content like misogynistic rubbish, eating disorder videos of children, these are ones that we are very alive to.
And the federal opposition here and the Shadow Communications Minister, David Coleman, he really wants children to be blocked altogether from accessing social media.
There's no question that social media is damaging for the mental health of children. There is ample evidence to show that. We need, as a society, to take strong action on this issue.
What do you think about outright bans? The UK is considering banning smartphones for anyone under 16, but is that something that would actually work?
You know, just today I had an 11-year-old I met who had downloaded an AI-driven sex simulator game where you act as a character in a sex game. So I completely understand the motivation behind wanting to ban apps or social media. At the same time, I think where there's a will, there's a way. I think absolutely it could be done, but it does depend on the country, the culture, the political environment in terms of the friction to get there. From my perspective, I think it would be terrific if a country, whether it was Australia, the USA, or the UK, banned smartphones and apps under a certain age, because then the rest of the world, the rest of us, could learn the good and the bad and the ugly of that. I think it would be a challenge because many parents believe that they should have a right to make these choices and not have impositions and bans. that are government-based. So I do see it as potentially quite challenging to get there. And to me, the most likely outcome is to increase regulation, raise rates, create improved environments, for example, banning phones in school environments and having clear regulations around that. I'd like to see that. But I'd be all for having the UK or Australia ban smartphones outright and apps, and the rest of us can learn what comes of that.
In Australia at the moment, you do need to be 18 to sign up for a mobile phone plan. Mm-hmm. But many kids get prepaid phones, you know, also because their parents want them to have them because they want to be able to contact them.
Right.
So there's benefits as well, of
Absolutely.
Course, to having a phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just tell me, Jan, though, you know, there is a sense of urgency in relation to this, I think, and that's growing because of the concern about what kids are actually seeing on these social media apps. What sort of harm can they actually do to a young person?
Really, I think it really depends on the age, of course. Mm. So for the youngest children, they're not learning to self-regulate. Frustration tolerance is rampant a problem for kids that have high use of phones. There's also the issue of their parents' distraction on their own phones. So the youngest children, it's really important that your child be able to interact with you on a relatively continuous basis so that they can learn about their own thoughts and feelings and their relationship with you and others in the world. Once we start to move into the teenage world, preteen, it's really about self-worth, increased negative self-worth and decreased positive self-worth while being on the phone. And really, a lot of that comes with upward social comparison, which is linked to diminished subjective well-being. It's obvious that when we scroll, we are comparing ourselves, adults, kids, we're comparing ourselves to others, and others seem to have it better. Everyone is presenting their best selves. So that's really the main impact, where it raises, lowers your self-esteem, which can contribute to depression and anxiety, or magnify depression and anxiety. I think for kids with depression and anxiety who are drawn to social media use, and there's data to show that they have increased use of social media, they could just itch-scratch-it cycle of worsening depression and anxiety in that process.
Yeah, and the average amount of time that kids are on these and teenagers are on social media and on their phones is huge. I saw something like an average 9 hours in the United States. Is that possible?
That sounds, that's correct. And
yeah,
it seems like a phenomenal number, and it shows you how attached a phone is to everyone and how actively people are using it and distracted by it.
Until we have more regulation than Jan, or we've got better controls over this, which seems like it's not really happening fast enough, but there is, you know, some governments trying to do some things, what can we do as a society, as parents, to make sure that our kids aren't affected by this, badly affected?
Yeah, well, it's so challenging to get kids off of their phone because, quote, you know, everyone has a phone. And I think that parents should have some degree of confidence about holding out as long as they can through primary school and into secondary school. Their kids will survive some restrictions on not having a phone. And some kids simply should not have a phone if they have displayed highly dangerous behaviors, you know, posting nudes, sharing nudes, seeming like they're getting in touch with older individuals. So I think it comes down to individual parent decision. But ultimately, I think that you are able to hold out longer than you think, and your child will in fact survive that.
Dr. Jan Ponson is a child psychiatrist at the Yale Child Study Center. Danny Alarchi is from the Heads Up Alliance. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, with audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.